Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Wow, the past 2 days have certainly been frosty, to say the least. In most of the United States, and especially on the East Coast, the temperatures have dropped into single digits. Everything is freezing. I thank God I have a warm home and food to eat during this period of cold weather. May God bless the people out there who are homeless. May they find someplace warm to lay their heads. Today is Thursday, January 8th. The year is now 2015. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, and the name of my show is You Talk Too Much. You Talk Too Much is a featured show in the Blog Talk Radio lineup of shows. My call-in number tonight is 1-714-242-5273. My spotlight tonight is on an author known as the Purposeful Poet. She is Mrs. Tracy L. Moore. Mrs. Tracy L. Moore has found a spiritual purpose in her life, and she wants to share the joy she has found with others by exposing them to her poems, books, blog, workshops, and so much more. So far, Tracy L. Moore has written 2 books. Tracy says Jesus died to give you the abundant life filled with limitless possibilities if you just choose to believe his word and accept the fact that God created you to be a winner. Can I get an amen to that fact tonight? Hello, Mrs. Tracy L. Moore. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Laura. How are you?
I'm perfect.
Awesome, perfect. Awesome.
Thank you so much. First of all, Tracy, I'm going to start this show out with a surprise. Would you read one of your poems to us? I've learned that one called My Soulmate is a good poem. Do you happen to have that one nearby?
I do. Can you give me 1 second?
Okay.
I do have it here. My Soulmate. Okay. I'm glad you asked me to read this poem. I really like this poem, too. Okay, My Soulmate. I never thought I'd meet someone as wonderful as you. A man with such integrity, a man so strong and true. One who accepts me as I am. I trust you with all my love. We were made so for each other. We fit together like hand in glove. I was just about to give up hope. The loneliness cut like a knife. Then like a cloudburst in an arid land, you rained upon my life. I'm so glad you came into my world, for you are my soulmate. You are my partner, my lover, my friend. You were truly worth the wait. I had waited for so many years, then you showed up on the scene. You are like the icing on my cake and the tasty filling in between. Now my life is so much sweeter. Before you came, I never knew how delicious my life could really be until the Lord sent you.
Wow,
amen.
That's really a beautiful, beautiful poem. Tracy, you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, your material really touches people at their heart and soul. How did you manage to do that? What kind of gifts do you have? I noticed on your blog you've been writing blogs from some time. What in your background gave you the desire to write books or to write poetry? What is your actual background? Were you a teacher?
Actually, I was a teacher, but I taught math for a very short time. It really wasn't anything about English, but ever since I was in high school, my teachers kind of fostered my gift. They told me that I had a gift for writing. I really didn't know, but I didn't even know I would use it. And I had been writing poetry since high school, and I would just write. I might write a poem on a napkin and throw it in a file, and then I'd write it on a scrap of paper and throw it in a file. It wasn't anything really organized. And over the years, the number of poems that I had in the file, they really piled up. And that's how I had my material to write my first book. So I decided that I was going to, you know, write what I call a poetic devotional, which is what my first book, Oasis for My Soul, is like. It's a book in which I have poems, and then I have devotional pieces with those poems, journaling exercises, and also prayers. So I like to think it's just more than just a poetry book. I call it poetry with a twist, because I'm trying to have like an integrated system that will draw the whole person in, just like the poems are to draw them in emotionally, and then the devotional readings to draw them intellectually, and the prayers to draw them in spiritually, and then the journaling exercises to get them involved physically by writing something. And I feel like when you get you bring the whole person in, that's when it can have the most spiritual impact. So that's how I started writing, really writing in high school and just carrying it on. And I love to write. I enjoy writing. I journal practically every day. I mean, just about the things the Lord tells me, or, you know, things that are going on in my life. I think journaling is such a powerful tool to help people to grow spiritually and personally, because it's a documentation of your spiritual journey.
You're right. You're right. You know, I started writing a journal, but I haven't written it every day. I've done it in spurts. But what I really want to say is when I go back and look at something that I wrote 4 years ago, say I was sitting out on my back, out on the deck, you know, chilling one day and just decided to write. I'm really surprised at what I actually wrote. It wasn't negative, anything negative. It was positive things, but it's just
right,
so surprising,
right,
you know, what I was probably thinking about at the time. But writing is takes a lot of time. It seems like it would probably take a lot out of you, a lot of strength. Are you exhausted at the end of writing the book?
No, I really am not, because really, you asked me how did I come to write. Really, it's the Holy Spirit is writing through me. And if the Holy Spirit is writing, it's enjoyable to me. It's not like work. It's something that, you know, he does through me. And just like this, the way I'm writing my books is just like right now, I have several books that I'm writing, but it's just like the Holy Spirit is downloading pieces of those books here and there. I remember one day I was going into Walmart, and the Holy Spirit started downloading some information. I'm writing a book about being overwhelmed, how to overcome overwhelm, spiritual insights for overcoming overwhelm. And I was sitting in a parking lot at Walmart, and the Holy Spirit started downloading to me some information about how to think differently, and a spiritual insight about overcoming overwhelm. So I sat there in the parking lot, and I always have a notebook with me. I always have a pad or something. Even in the bathroom, I have a notepad in there just in case, you know, I have an inspired moment and I can capture a thought or a concept or something that the Holy Spirit is giving me. But I sat outside that Walmart, I know, at least a half an hour, 40 minutes, just writing what the Holy Spirit was giving to me, because if I don't write it right then, it's lost. It'll go away, and I won't be able to get it back. So normally when I feel like the Holy Spirit's downloading something to me, I take time right then, if I possibly can. I don't let the moment go by. I go ahead and just write down what he's giving me so that I won't lose it. But it's not really work to me, and I don't feel drained after. I feel exhilarated, actually. I feel cleansed. I feel energized after I write, and I feel satisfied. And I feel full, too, because when I'm writing, the Holy Spirit is feeding me. When I'm journaling, I'm studying, you know, Holy Spirit's giving me scriptures. It's like he's feeding me as I'm writing. So at the end of it, I feel full. I feel full, if that makes any sense.
It
but that's
make
what,
sense. Because when you finish writing, your writings actually feed other people. Like you said, there are a lot of people out here today who are thirsty, and you use that particular word, thirst, and quenching one's thirst. And your words actually do quench the thirst of others. And you're right. There are people out here today who are overwhelmed. I was noting this when I was reading about your workshops here, where you have a workshop called The Joy of the Lord is Your Strength, Maintaining Joy in Difficult Times. And you're saying that sometimes it's hard to be joyful when you are going through tests and trials. In this workshop, you will gain a new perspective on the definition of joy and receive insight to help you keep the devil from stealing your joy. You also mentioned that when some people go through trials and tribulations on your blog, you said that this is just the Lord pruning. Pruning the bad or the dead or the tired or whatever out of someone's life. And I meet people from time to time who are going through a test, but I got to be honest with you, Tracy. I know that their test is not my test. Okay?
That is true. I hear you.
Girl, I have to put it to you because I have, you know, I'm a person with a good heart and everything, but I just learned, but because of the lifestyle that I lead, my life is going in one direction, and I might meet somebody else whose life is going in another direction, and I can connect with them based on whatever I can offer at the time, but I have to continue on my journey.
Right, and you can't get dragged down.
Right, and I have to recognize the test they're going through is definitely for them. And it may
be a test.
It may be a test that I went through 30 years ago, but I'm not going to go through that test now because it's just not for me.
Right. You said you had yours already.
That's good
that you'll be able to offer the insight that you gained, though. I'm sure you'll be able to offer insight being able to go through it. Because I really think that's the way God wants us to help comfort other people. Because I know when I go through a trial, he gives me some kind of insight about that particular situation. I'm hoping that I can use it. Because it makes it purposeful. I mean, it makes when you go through suffering like that, you go through test and trial, to know that it's a possibility you might be able to help somebody else. It's just not for naught. It's really a blessing. That helps, because otherwise it's just like, what am I going through this for? But it's to learn lessons that we need to learn, and also possibly to help somebody else. But I understand exactly what you mean, though, because sometimes people can pull you into their drama, and then you are kind of caught up in it, and then you miss what God is trying to have you do in your own life. And I've been there, done that. So I totally understand where you're coming from.
I miss my blessings. And those people actually need both of your books. I want to read a little bit here on your resume. This says, Tracy L. Moore, also known as the Purposeful Poet. Tracy L. Moore wants to take you down a spiritually poetic trail and challenge you to be your best for Christ. She is currently the author of two books, Oasis for My Soul, Poems and Inspirational Writings for Spiritual and Personal Growth, and the second book, The Exceptional Man, Love Poems and Inspirational Writings Celebrating Godly Men and Great Relationships. As a poet and speaker, she uses the poetic and oratory gifts God has given her to replay spiritual truths. The insights shared by Tracy are based on the Word of God and inspire personal growth and spiritual transformation. After writing poetry and keeping personal journals for many years, the poet has honed her craft, and now her purpose is to help others to come to a deep, more personal relationship with Jesus Christ through rhyme and spiritually encouraging words that heal, she strives to be a catalyst for change. Tracy L. Moore holds a Master of Arts degree in Christian Counseling from Oral Roberts University and currently resides in Norfolk, Virginia. And on that note, let me just say, you can reach Ms. Tracy L. Moore, poet, author, and speaker, by phone, 757-567-0500, or you can visit her website, and your website is beautiful. www.tracylmoore.com. You can look her up and email her. You can also find her on Facebook. And the best place to visit, in my opinion, would be her blog, www.tracylmoore.wordpress.com. Now, Ms. Moore, please tell me, what do you do most often? Or say, in the case of your workshops, are your workshops for individuals, or do you do workshops for groups, or do you do workshops at churches? Do you speak at schools? Exactly what do you do?
Normally, I do workshops for churches, and they're group events where I have, you know, several people, because I like to do group interactions. I like to have my workshops, not that people are just sitting and listening to me talk. I like to think of myself as a facilitator. I like to facilitate discussions. I like for the members of the workshop to teach each other, so to speak. I want to see people having insights pop up because of the discussions that they're having and that they're being able to bond and connect with each other. So those are the types of workshops I like to do, to be able to have people connect with each other, teach each other. And then I'm like the catalyst. You know, a catalyst is something that will start a reaction and then move out of the way. That's what I want to do, start the reaction and then kind of get out of the way and let it, you know, take its own life on pretty much.
Well, during your workshops, what topics or subjects become most poignant?
I would say, I know one of the things that I really like to teach on is overcoming fear, overcoming fears in life. I think a lot of people, you know, when God tells us to do something, normally it's something that's bigger than we are, and it's something that we can't do on our own, and that's exactly why he gives it to us, so that we can depend on him to get it done. So I like teaching on fear, and that's a topic that comes up that I have taught on in a workshop. And I have a poem, too. Would you mind if I recite that poem called No Fear?
Thank you. Please do.
Okay, this poem is called No Fear. And the thing about it is that whenever God tells us to do something, the devil's not going to roll out the red carpet and say, be my guest. He's going to throw fear up in our faces to get us to stop and to paralyze us, to not do what God has called us to do. So in this poem, I encourage people to do what's necessary to overcome their fears. So this is called No Fear. Satan has set a trap for believers, for he is a liar and a master deceiver. That trap called fear, designed to paralyze, is only a lie wrapped up in disguise. You must feel the fear, but move out in God. Go where no other man has trod. That is the way to escape Satan's snare. Do what you fear and cast your care. For the Lord have not given us a fearful spirit. The voice of Satan refused to hear it. To live free of fear is a challenging task. God would give you boldness if you'd only ask. Declare God's word as you attack your fears. Ignore the devil's taunts and jeers. Your fears you must identify. Do not allow life to pass you by. And let fear keep you in a little box that Satan turns the key to lock. Fear is designed to keep you still. Know that for you, that's not God's will. Decide that fear will not control you. Whatever the Father says, you must do. Chase, capture, and wrestle fear to the ground. Every single stronghold, bring it down. Your Heavenly Father will deliver, it's true. But when God gets done, fear will fear you.
That's powerful. That's powerful. And I can say I have been a victim of fear now. I can tell you that because
Me too.
we are afraid in professional environments, you know, afraid to apply for a job or or afraid to speak up for ourselves in certain environments. I've lost I can say because sometimes we're trained to be fearful. I'll tell you, nowadays, and if you're working in, just like our President Obama, there are a lot of things that he doesn't do or say, and it's either based upon training. I don't think it's that he recognizes it as fear, but there has to be some fear there, some fear to speak out on certain topics because he can't. He has to mobilize everybody. He has to try to please everybody.
Right,
that's another thing. When a person is trying to please everybody, they're fearful of stepping out on what they truly believe.
Right, right. Yeah, I understand what you're talking about. I understand. But we can't let fear stop us. And I was listening to Joyce Meyer, and she says, she was talking about how it's a difference in feeling fear and being afraid, and how you can feel fearful, but you don't have to let it stop you. And if you're afraid, that means you are letting it paralyze you. You're letting the fear paralyze you. So you can feel fear, but still push forward and do the things that you fear. And that's the only, really the only way we're going to get over our fears, is to push past those things that we're afraid to do. And I know one time I was reading this book. It was called The Spiritual Basis of Disease or something. One of my girlfriends had given me this book, and it was talking about I have a lot of allergies, and it says, well, if you have a lot of allergies, then you're fearful. And I was just like, get out of here. I'm not fearful. But then after the next week, God began to show me all these fears that I was tolerating in my life, all of these fears that I had not even noticed because they become such a norm for me. And that's when I started to attack the fears in my life and try to do what I could to push past the things that I didn't want to do and to get out of my comfort zone. And that's what I encourage others to do. And a lot of times that's what we have to encourage others, each other to do that, because we need to be like iron sharpens iron in the body of Christ and, you know, just encourage each other and stir each other up to good works. And that's pushing past those things that we don't feel comfortable doing sometimes.
You're right. I think sometimes I think there's a point to that, because fear can actually bring on asthma and other types of physical ailment. And I kind of realized recently that fear can be a permanent condition. Like, you can be afraid of something. Oh, I'll tell you what made me realize this. I was having a luncheon with some ladies from my ladies' club, and we were talking about bullies. And I was telling them a guy that used to bully me when I was in elementary school. I did encounter him later. He was working in a government agency, and he helped me out. But after that conversation with them, I realized when I thought back to that time, I could actually still feel the fear I used to have of this guy. Because after school, knowing that he was going to hit me or push me, I had to start running into the girls' bathroom and staying there for quite some time. So I thought he had gone home. And that's when I realized, you know, something that you were afraid of 50 years ago could actually still, the fear could still be there. It may not be affecting me now, but if I can still feel it, I wondered if it was still there. But Ms. Moore, we're going to move on. I want to ask you, are you a pastor?
No, I'm not. I'm just a believer who loves the Lord and wants to be the best I can for Christ, and thank God he's in my life. That's pretty much it right now. I'm not a pastor. I don't feel like I'm called to be a pastor, but if it so happens that God calls me to do that and later on, I will cross that bridge when I come to it.
Hey, he might be calling you to be a pastor now, but there are a lot of churches out here. There are a lot of churches, so I wouldn't know. What denomination are you?
I would say non-denominational, more maybe more so Pentecostal. So.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. I understand that. Well, I'm kind of at a loss for words here. I did have two writers, two people on my show a couple of weeks ago who have written books of poetry. As a matter of fact, I have several friends who have written. Regina Southall has written books on poetry. I have another friend by the name of Evelyn Oakley. She was on my show way back in maybe 2012, and she wrote a book on poetry. She actually started writing one day and discovered herself. So most of her poems are about things that relate to herself. I also have a friend, Jerome Meminger, who is an artist. And he has written poetry in relation to some of the paintings that he has done over the years. Are you familiar with Jerome Meminger?
I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm not.
You may be, because he has been painting at these jazz-like sessions. He's an artist who was, for the whole past, during 2014, he was going around to different pubs and cafes and painting.
Okay.
So you might be familiar with him. But you know,
I'll be on the lookout for him, though, because normally when somebody mentions somebody to me, that's when they'll pop up. The next time, next thing I know, I will see them. Just like, you know, when you buy a certain car, then you start to see all these cars out there. So since you pointed that out to me, I probably will come in contact with him or maybe, you know, see something he's done lately. I bet.
Now, I know here that you also host a workshop related to financial stewardship. Now, this time of year, the beginning of the year, everybody has goals, affirmations, resolutions. Let me ask you, do you happen to have a specific goal for this year?
My specific goal, I have two goals, actually, the two main goals. I have several because each year on January 1st, I sit in my easy chair when I get up in the morning and I set my goals for the year. I go over what goals I had last year to see what goals I met, what goals I have yet to meet, and then I set new goals for the year. But the two main goals that I have for this year, I want to get another book out because it's my goal to get one book out each year. So I want to get my book out. Not sure which one I'm going to attack because, like I said, I have several books going. But I want to get a book out by the end of the year. And then the second goal, I'm working on a video training course called Saved, Sanctified, and Successfully Single. And with that video course, I want to minister to single women. Sometimes women, they want to be married so bad because they don't feel whole in their singlehood. And I want to minister to women who are not married, who are single, who want to be at peace and to be able to wait for their Boaz with joy. So I want to work on that and get that done too. I've started on it, written several pieces, but I still have a lot of work to do on that. So those are my two main goals for the year.
Well, believe it or not, Ms. Moore, we're out of time. Is there anything specifically that you would like to say in relation to the audience? In relation to your books, in relation to your workshops, in relation to contacting you?
Yes. Actually, the two books, you mentioned the two books that I have, Oasis for My Soul and The Exceptional Man, and both of those books are designed to help people to get a deeper, more intimate, more personal relationship with themselves, their creator, and the people that they love. And when you have better quality relationships with the people around you, your God and yourself, you have a better quality of life. So I'm hoping that if you do purchase one of the books, that it will really, really bless you. You can find out more about me at TracyLMoore.com. That's TracyLMoore.com. And you can purchase the book at Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, Heaven and Earth, and Discover Life Bookstore in Norfolk. And I really appreciate the time, and I appreciate the time you've allowed me to share.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for being on my show. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, and the name of my show is You Talk Too Much. We're out of time now, Ms. Moore. Thank you, and happy 25th.